Welcome to the Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris. I'm your host, Coach Chris, here on 1040. And today I have my good buddy Dave West on. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, man. Partially thanks to you.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. So Dave West here is owner and operator of KPPF as well as Mountain Country. So he is a vastly busy guy, to say the least.
Yeah, we have three radio stations, one in Pueblo, two here in the Springs, and then a digital production company. So four businesses all in one spot, thankfully. I mean, that's good. But it can be stressful.
Yeah, no doubt. And we've kind of talked about your stress level a little bit and kind of how that led to some of your issues, right?
I think so, man. For years I've suffered from pretty bad migraines. Paramedics once told me that was the worst migraine I've ever seen anybody have. When a paramedic tells you that, you're like, oh, well, I guess they're pretty bad. They send me to the ER. They're really debilitating. And I've had a lot of, I've gone to a neurologist. I've gone to multiple chiropractors. I know you work closely with chiropractors.
Absolutely.
And I've got some relief, limited relief from them, but you really honed in on an issue in my shoulder that was causing, I think, the migraines to happen, along with the stress too. But man, to not have the migraines since I've been working with you has been a godsend.
That was the coolest thing, I think, after we were training together for about 12 weeks. I looked at Dave and I go, when's the last time you had a migraine?
Yeah.
And he goes, huh? And he had to think about it for a second.
Can't think of the last time. So it's been great, and I don't know what all you want to get into today during the show, but the breathing techniques that you've brought me for stress, you want to talk about the box breathing for a second?
Oh, yeah. So here at the Cerebral Edge, the whole idea is that we give you the edge to be 1% better every day. So I think box breathing would be something great to get into, and we can get into that a little bit later.
Okay.
First, let's talk a little bit about what your hobbies are a little bit.
Oh, mountain climbing.
Yeah.
That's pretty anything to do with mountains. Mountain climbing, sliding down mountains. I love the mountains.
Yeah.
So, it's a physical thing.
And this isn't like small like dune mountains. These are like 14ers, and Dave has an awesome goal for next year that I'm training for, to where he is going to be going to, I believe, Chile, right?
Yeah, down near Chile.
Down near Chile?
I can't think of the exact, now you got me off, Argentina?
Argentina?
Yeah, Argentina. Is that by Chile?
I think so.
I think so.
I don't have a map in front of me.
I don't either. I'm not real good with South America, but it's a 22,000 foot mountain. It's the tallest mountain in, outside of Asia.
Mm-hmm.
They got the big ones over in Asia, Mount Everest, that everybody's familiar with and whatnot. I've been climbing most of the 14ers here, a whole ton of 13ers here in Colorado. I've climbed in Washington. I've climbed in Nepal. And it's been my goal to climb a mountain above 20,000 feet. I don't think I want to go to 29. Everest is a death trap, so I don't think I want to do that.
They just leave bodies up there, too.
They just leave you up there. But what I wanted to do was see if I could, cause I've been to 18.5 and I did okay at 18.5, and I really, that 20,000 mark has been a goal for a while. And I thought, man, next year is the time to do it.
What is the tallest one that you've climbed so far?
18.5. Yeah, it's in Nepal. It's right 7 miles from Mount Everest. So I got a great view of Mount Everest.
Wow.
But I was still 10,000 feet plus below the summit of Mount Everest at 18.5.
Well, all right. We're on the Cerebral Edge with Dave West here as my guest on KPPF 1040, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris. I am Coach Chris here with Dave West, owner of Mountain Country KPPF, an avid mountain climber. Mm-hmm.
I like mountain biking, too.
Mountain biking.
Anything with a mountain in it, I think I'm good for.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything that has mountain, that's why it's called Mountain Country, right?
Mountain Country. That's why we call the country station Mountain Country. That's right. We were talking a little bit before the break about my goal to climb a big mountain in South America. And as you get more higher and higher in altitude, breathing is going to become even more important than it is right now.
Absolutely.
Right. You and I have been going over these breathing techniques. You had me, you know, the phone thing is the best thing. I've got these reminders. Right there it is, right there, right now.
Yep.
Breathe.
Yep.
And talk a little bit about what's the difference in just regular breathing and what I'm doing here with my exercises.
So basically what I'm having Dave do, right, is what a lot of people get into, which is more of a chest breather scenario, right?
Like if you take a deep breath and your chest goes up.
And your chest goes up. So if you put your hand on your belly, hand on your chest, you take a deep breath in, see which hand moves first. Is it your belly hand or is it your chest hand? And about 90% of people, well, it'll be their chest hand. And I'm going to take this back a little bit, back to 1830 by a guy named George Catlin. And he was a lawyer in New York and decided, he's like, well, you know what? I'm sick of being a lawyer. I'm going to follow my number one passion, which is painting, right?
Oh.
So he was on the East Coast, right? Because 1830s, everybody's on the East Coast. That's where everybody lived back then, yeah, right?
They hadn't migrated
yet. They hadn't migrated out to the West yet. So what he did was he just got sick of painting aristocrats. So then he's like, I'm going to go live with the tribes and paint the tribes because I think it'd be fascinating and fun.
Oh, wow.
So back then, right, they were very welcoming, letting people come in and live with them before we manifest destiny to them. And
the natives were very, they didn't realize.
Yeah, they didn't realize exactly what was going on. So what he did was he started painting them, and he noticed that every native had really prominent facial features. All their teeth were straight, and they kept their teeth into adulthood. And a native cradle, if you've ever seen it, they're all strapped in, but they have a slight head tilt on the back, so that way the chin's just tucked just slightly, right, which keeps the airway open. And when the babies would start to breathe with their mouths open, they would pinch their mouth shut, so that way they would nasal breathe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's our natural breath. The way we should breathe is through our nose and comes down. That helps bring that down into the belly to get that belly breath going on. So when he would ask the natives, how come you guys do that? And they'd say, well, if we breathe out of our mouth, it makes us weaker. Right?
Wow.
And there was an awesome strength and conditioning article wrote by Charles Poliquin back, I think it was 90s. Don't quote me on that. 90s, 80s. And he had a really good article on called Shut Your Mouth and Train, right?
Oh.
Which basically would help recovery between sets.
Because a lot of people, while they're working out, are solely breathing through their... They're trying to get as much breath in, I guess, so they're breathing right through their mouth.
Yeah, right through their mouth and their chest.
Yeah.
Which isn't... You know, you should be able to use your whole cavity, you know, your upper respiratory and lower lobes, both. But what happens is people rely too heavily on that upper lobes, and all of a sudden they get tightness in the neck, which leads us to you with your migraines that you were having.
Yeah, tightness in the neck's where the migraines would start from. I could feel them.
Yeah.
I could feel the tightness in the neck. Oh, boy, here we go.
Right, here we go. And next thing you know, you said you're on the floor for,
Or going to the ER.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you had one story of when you were laying on the floor and your wife came in and tripped over you.
Yeah, that was Christmas Day. Yeah,
what a Christmas!
It was great. Huh? What a Christmas! Christmas Day, I woke up with a migraine. I was in the dark, and my wife tried to come in and help me. She falls on me, full weight of her falls on my face. Took my mind off the migraine for a minute, but that's not the way you're supposed to do it.
That's not the way it's supposed to happen, right? And then through assessing you, right? We first thing we did was we assessed your breathing, where you're breathing from,
right?
And then we also assessed your balance, which is
important for everybody, but especially in mountain climbing.
Mountain climbing.
Pretty important.
Right. And it has a lot to do with posture. And also what people don't realize is that inner ear has a massive effect on your extensor muscle tone. So things like glutes and hamstrings and back muscles, right? Because what are you using to climb up that mountain, right? Your butt.
Yeah, and those big muscles right back there.
And you have your cane and your sticks, and you're pulling yourself through a little bit, and that's mainly your back.
Yeah.
Right? So if your inner ear's off, then that musculature is not going to be as proficient as it should be.
It's crazy how the body works and how it's all tied insane. Together. I mean, it's really well designed.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking with somebody the other day, and I said, when I started looking at the body neurologically instead of just biomechanically, which biomechanics matters 100%.
Sure.
Right? But when you start looking at the body neurologically, you start looking at the whole picture and not just, you know, a specific spot. Because a lot of people would probably look at your shoulder and go, okay, well, you need TENS unit on that, you know.
I've tried those.
You're right.
Didn't do it.
Yeah, you might need just to strengthen the back musculature, right? And then you could probably strengthen it for a long time and still have that very forward head posture and everything
right,
like that.
Right.
They might try massage, all kinds of things, right?
Yep.
But instead of taking a step back and going, okay, what's the real underlying issue, right? What's going on? That's why I sit people down and I really go into a structure of what's your life like?
Right.
Right? Do you have, what's your posture look like, right? Do you have problems reading, right? Do you have problems standing up straight, right? I watched your gait. How are you walking?
How you walk, right, right. Right.
So I'll take a look at all that. And it's all information, right? Nothing's good or bad, right? It's just taking information.
Right.
So when I say things like you had like that shark bite that looked like it was taken out of your right trap, right?
Yeah, right. I had my shoulders. If you looked, one of my shoulders looked kind of normal, and then the other one had a dip in it. You know, it had like a shark bite taking a chunk out of my shoulder.
Right.
And I did, you know, what's funny, after working with you, I thought I would have to build that shoulder muscle up. Mm-hmm. But no, it just came out. We didn't build up a shoulder muscle that wasn't there, did we? I mean,
to an extent, a little bit. Through carries and things like that. But ultimately, what we did was we fixed the breathing, which we're going to get into here in a second, okay. Right? Which then helps posture, right? And I'll talk about the diaphragm muscle and things like that and how it affects that mid-back and shoulder function. But is not only that, but also that inner ear problem, because when people have an inner ear problem, a lot of times they'll have that crooked head.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, okay.
Because their inner ear is telling they're moving one way, vision system's telling this is straight, so all of a sudden your body compensates for that.
And you kind of get that crooked head going.
Yeah, and you kind of get the crooked head, or I've seen body twists going on, or all kinds of different things in my experience working with people.
Right. So we launch into breathing now?
Yeah, jump into that.
And it's so strange. I mean, again, I've tried lots of different things, and simply breathing correctly has made a huge difference. I mean, and I can feel a difference now that you have me on the timed breathing, where I take a minute every times, four, five, six times a day, mm-hmm. and I concentrate on my breathing. I feel a world of difference.
Right, and that's part of that habit-building piece, right? Because I was noticing for a long time, I'd give people these drills, and they'd be with me and be like, yeah, I feel great when I'm with you, and then when I'm gone,
yeah,
I start to feel bad again.
Feel really good on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, not so much.
Right. And then I was talking to a colleague of mine, Dr. Wood, and he goes, well, why don't you just sit down with them and have them put it in their phone? And I was like, that's a novel idea.
It's a really good idea. Right? Yeah.
Everybody has a phone with them, right? Yep. It all pings all the time, right? So I just started doing that with people, sitting them down, being like, okay, I want you to pick three times a day, and it's only be 5 minutes, right?
Right, just a few minutes.
And I don't care if you're having the worst day you could possibly think of. I want you to put times in there that you can do it no matter what, right? I don't care if your whole world's falling apart. You have times that you can do this.
Yeah.
Because it's 5 minutes, right? And a lot of times, if your world's falling apart, you should probably practice
breathing, right? Yeah, you're gonna feel better once you're through with the breathing techniques. Yeah,
right. So one breathing technique I have, which is on my YouTube page, Cerebral Edge Performance YouTube, is the RPR, the rubbing, right? Mm-hmm, the diaphragm wake up.
Yep.
So the diaphragm is massively important, especially with shoulder function. Can even stem as low back pain, right? Because that diaphragm separates your upper and lower cavity, right? So right underneath your ribs is where it goes, and it's like this big parachute muscle, right?
Okay.
And when that doesn't get used, right, and how it gets used when it contracts, it kind of comes up, kind of like a dome,
right?
And then when it relaxes, it comes down flat, right? And that's what helps pull the air in and out of your lungs,
okay? Right?
And people won't use that a whole lot, and they'll use their secondary musculature, right, for breathing, which is things like your pecs and your neck and your scalenes and all the
up
all,
higher
all the musculature around higher and in the upper body, right? Okay. So then, you know, you listen for things people saying, I have a chronically tight neck, or, you know, I have a chronically, you know, bad shoulder, things like that. And then you sit there and you'll go, okay, well, let's do the RPR for the diaphragm, and then bring your hands. And what I call is Superman breathing or fat breathing, right?
Okay.
I'll have people put their hands between their ribs and their pelvis, and I'll have them breathe in their nose and expand that belly, right?
And you want to have your hands down there so that you can feel that you're moving down low rather than up top.
Yep, and it gives you a target to breathe into as well,
yeah,
right? Because it gives you kind of information,
right,
of where you're breathing into. Like
I'm trying to expand this down here, and so
yep, yeah, absolutely.
Works real good.
Yeah, it works. It works fantastic for athletes, for everybody I think is an athlete, right? Because everybody uses their body.
In one way or another.
In one way or another, you're using your body, right? And if you don't take care of it, it's going to rebel against you, right?
So you have the explanation on a video on the YouTube?
Yeah, on the YouTube, yeah. There's a three-part series I have on breathing, actually. So,
oh, okay.
So you can go through all three parts. I mean, they're not very long videos, so take maybe a minute or two out of your day.
Okay.
And it would make a massive difference.
Well, I said it before, and I'll say it again. If you don't think breathing's important, just stop doing it for a little bit.
Yeah. And then what I say is, you know, the brain survives off of two things, right? Fuel and activation. The two primary fuel sources for your brain is oxygen and glucose, right? We can go quite a while without eating, right?
Okay, right, sure.
A month or so, right? How long can you go without breathing?
Not so, you know, a few seconds. Yeah, that's about it. So,
right.
Awesome. Well, go to Coach Chris's YouTube and try it. I mean, it's breathing. Mm-hmm. It's just breathing better. Mm-hmm. And you'll be amazed at what a huge difference it makes.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially for sports performance or just everyday stress, right? Because Dave has tons of stress when it comes to
I have a little bit
running,
of stress, yeah.
Running with three stations, and I can always assess him when he comes in just by walking if he's having a good day or not. And I always ask what I call a rhetorical question. How you feeling, Dave?
Yeah. And sometimes I think, I'm feeling fine, and I'm good. And I really do think, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. But then you're like, yeah, let's do some work here.
Right.
And then some days I'm obviously, man, dude, I'm beat up.
Right.
Like the last time I saw you last Thursday, I was beat up. I didn't even want to go in.
Right.
I was tired. I was depressed and hungry and mad and sad and all of that at the same time. When we got finished, though, I walked out feeling great.
Oh, absolutely. I was telling you this earlier, that's the struggle that most people have going to the gym, is that battle in their mind before they walk through the door.
Yeah.
Once they're through the door, it's game on, right?
Yeah. Here we are. Yeah. Might as well do it. You're right. There is something about that's like your brain is telling you, nah, you're too tired. Oh, you didn't eat good enough. You've got too much work to do. Take a couple minutes for yourself.
All the stories you can tell yourself, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's literally your brain rebelling against you, because you have to look at the primitive organ we're dealing with, right? Because it's going to go, that's going to take a lot of calories. Mm. That's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that. And it's not your, and it's not really your conscious. It's that subconscious, that lizard brain that I talked about before, right? Going, that is dangerous. It's threatening.
So let's not do it.
So let's not do that.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Sometimes hurting is good, you know, box breathing, can we get back to that?
Yeah.
Because I know there's a lot of people who deal with anxiety and stress, and that's above like what I deal with. Like your day-to-day stress and work is one thing, but when you're laying it in bed at night having a panic attack, mm-hmm. that's a different thing.
Well, I mean, just look around Colorado Springs, Dave. I mean, how many people do you see that are just stressed out of their mind, right?
Everywhere.
They're looking, going, am I going to lose my job tomorrow? Right.
Right.
Can I take care of my kids? what's going to happen, right? What's the next thing, right? Now we have Ukraine, Russia.
Right. We got that going on. Everybody's worried about something.
Bombardment of the news constantly, right? Weighing on people's minds, stressed out, right?
So don't watch the news would be one good advice.
That would be one good advice to take. And then the other thing is if that stuff is weighing your mind, try this, right? Right now, take your phone out, program it for 3 times a day, right? And you're going to do this for... Try 3 minutes to start with.
Three minutes
to start with, okay? So box breathing. So basically what you want to think about is your inhale, your pause, your exhale, then your pause. And all those are going to be even numbers, right, throughout the whole thing. That's why it's called box breathing.
Right. What I do, I guess you're supposed to imagine a box.
Yeah.
So I inhale and I imagine the top part of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then the key, so you do that for... You can build up. I'm up to like 5 seconds now.
You can build up.
You start maybe 3 seconds, 4 seconds, whatever you can do that's comfortable. Mm-hmm. You inhale along the top of the box, and then you stop. Your body wants to immediately.
It wants to immediately inhale, right?
Yeah. But then imagine that the down, you know, right or left side of the box is another 3, 4, 5 seconds where you hold it.
Yep.
And then the bottom part of the box is... 3, 4 seconds of what were we inhaling, exhaling, and then hold it because you want to breathe in immediately, but hold it. And then the last side of the box goes back up to where you inhale again.
Yep.
And visually, I think I that helps. I don't know if it's all breathing or if there's something going on in the mind there that takes my mind off the stress visually too, because all I'm thinking about is the breathing and kind of this imaginary box.
That's another part to it, right? So when you're breathing, you're counting those 4 seconds in, holding for 4 seconds, breathing out for 4 seconds, then holding for 4 seconds. You can't think about anything else.
You really can't. And if you can think of something, then push it to 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And eventually you'll find a point where I'm not thinking anything about but this breathing. And then when you're through with that for a few minutes, what is it, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
You can start 3 minutes. You can work up to 10 minutes, right?
Wow.
All depends on how much you want to do it. But
And again, you're taking those great breaths in through your nose with your diaphragm.
Nose. And then I was going to get back to that a little bit with George Catlin and the natives and the facial structures and the perfect teeth. And they kept their teeth into, you know, adulthood, like into the 70s, right? Where an infant mortality rate was basically nil, right?
Wow.
Disease was not really heard of. Cancers really weren't that heard of, right? And of course, you can attribute some of that to diet, right? Like they had bison. That's what they mainly ate was bison and vegetables. But when you have your mouth closed, where does your tongue sit? It sits high against the palate, and it naturally pushes against your teeth. And now, years later, after that, you know, he published this book, and everybody kind of called him crazy. Doctors, especially dentists, are starting to fix teeth with mouth breathing for kids.
Wow.
They're starting to straighten teeth like that just by teaching them, hey, if you're just sitting around, keep your mouth closed, breathe through your nose.
What was it you said? Keep your mouth closed and
shut your mouth and train.
Shut your mouth and train. That's a good one.
Yeah, I like that. Shut your mouth and train.
Yeah. Wow. Important. We do see, and if you look at pictures of skulls from 100 years ago or 200 years ago or whatever, we have these old skulls of people.
Right.
And it's totally different. Now we see this tucked in chin.
Yep.
With a lot of kids have that kind of the chin is kind of tucked back. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you're talking about with the dentist and the breathing.
Yeah.
Huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a huge difference. But you're listening to Cerebral Edge, where we give you the edge to be 1% better every day here with Dave West. Stick around. You're going to want to, because we got some more tips coming for you.
I think it's 10% better, man.
At least 10%.
All right.
We are back with the Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris. I'm Coach Chris. He's Dave West.
I am.
And we're talking about a different way to train and how we got rid of Dave's migraines in a different way.
Man, you know what? Like I said at the start of the show, I can't thank you enough. I have tried everything that I could come up with to try to get rid of these migraines. And I've had them for 20 plus years. I've gone to lots of different people. We've tried lots of different things. And it was only when I came to you and you discovered my shoulder. I knew that I could feel these migraines starting in my shoulder, in my right shoulder, and they would come up to the back of my neck, and I would just know that, oh boy, here it comes, and there was nothing I could do about it, right, short of trip to the ER. I mean, right, that's usually where I ended up.
Mm-hmm.
And so since working out with Coach Chris, I've had really only one migraine, and that was when I didn't work with Coach Chris for 2 weeks. I don't know what happened. There was a couple. Your schedule was crazy. My schedule was crazy. And
the drills got pushed to the wayside.
I quit doing my breathing techniques that we were talking about earlier in the show. You'll have to do the eye thing sometime on a show, because that's incredible too.
Yeah,
the eye exercises that Coach Chris will put you through. You know what? I would encourage anybody, regardless of age, to go work out one time with you and just see that. The cool thing that I like about what Chris will do, let's say you have me doing a push-up or something, just something basic,
right?
He will stop you. Like, you do 3 or 4 push-ups, and Chris will often go, wait a second, stop, stop, get up. No other trainer that I've ever known would stop you mid-exercise and say, that's not working out.
Right.
Let's do some ankle rolls or some eye push-ups, or some breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now continue with your workout.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find, and every time, it's like, man, I'm struggling with these push-ups. I am struggling with these push-ups. And then we do whatever it is. Boom, I'm knocking out 15 push-ups.
No problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and that comes with time. You know, when you train people over time, you can kind of see that. And you go, okay, well, they're not, they're using more trap. You know, when they're pushing up, they're bringing their shoulders up to their ears versus keeping them down and able to push with their full musculature. And that's just compensation patterns that I look for.
Yeah. Right? And something you wouldn't see if you were working out by yourself
or even if a friend was working, because they don't have the experience to look for that stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, regardless of age, right? Because I get sick of hearing this crap that, well, I'm just older, that's the way it's supposed to be. I'm like, no, that's not true. We have research out the yin-yang about reversing sarcopenia or osteopenia through weight training and exercise and resistance training.
Wow.
And that's what's a huge key missing factor, especially in the elderly population, which can help fight a lot of this disease going on. Like,
so would you say it's even more important for the elderly population to get out and do these things?
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, because when you're young, you can beat yourself up, and then the next day you're ready to go. As you get older, life takes its toll.
Yeah.
And so if you can have these advantages in your back pocket, you can breathe right, and you can impress and get your strength up and your posture's better, then no matter what age you are, 9 or 99, you're going to feel and work out or work. Your body's going to work better.
And I'll end with this. My last person that I just trained was 78 years old.
Wow, 78.
Came to me with a massively shuffled gait, right? Couldn't hardly walk. Went to his doctor, and I'm not bashing on doctors here, right? But went to his doctor. Doctor said, you're fine, right?
You're just old.
Come to find out, you're just old, right? That just happens. And that gets me fired up to no end, right?
Right.
But just by working with him a little bit, finding out he had a fall and going, well, maybe I need to train his balance a little bit with his inner ear. Just did a little bit of that. His gait went from shuffled to almost normal.
Wow.
And it blew me away. I didn't expect to see that result. But the fact that people think that they can't change just because they're older just drives me nuts.
Well, all right. No matter what your age, reach out. I know we're coming to the end of the show. But yeah. I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you being in my life.
I appreciate that. And as well for you guys listening to this radio station too, I just set up an email. So if you guys have any questions, just go ahead and email cerebraledge1, at gmail.com. And I will try to get to your answers or your questions within the next few episodes or so.
Oh, you'll have a show regarding whatever topic.
Regarding whatever topic.
Whoa! Yeah, whatever questions. This is a whole new avenue now.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's going to be good. So you're listening to The Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris, where we give you the edge to be 1% better every day. Thank you for spending your afternoon with us, and we will catch you in the next episode.